So as Bob's making his way up here, we're going to get started. I'm going to pray for us, and then Bob's going to get us started. God, I thank you so much for who you are. God, today you know what needs to happen in the room here today, better than Bob and I know, better than anyone else knows. So God, we give you this time to do with it what you want. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you are new to Maywood Baptist Church, this is a weird place, isn't it? Huh? Wow. The deal is, I'm getting ready to come up on 50 years of being a preacher. All right? Woo! You are my reward for all those early days who were really hard. Just wanted you to know that. This is so much fun. I am just full of joy. These guys, and of course Emma, being baptized today, what a wonderful gift that God has given to you all, and then you, through him, to us. So we are really happy. And so you all kind of cheer on Jake and me, because it's fun, and we like to play with that. We ought to cheer on God for what he's doing. All right, let's do that. Maywood hasn't always been like this. In fact, if you have been away from a while and you've come back and said, whoa, what happened to that place? Well, God just dropped a wonderful bomb right in our midst, and he blew us up. So about 15 years ago, we asked this question. If we left this area, would anybody notice? And we sort of really actually we seriously looked at that, and we thought, maybe not. Okay? And so I'm going to list some things really quick, and there's a lot more we could list, so I'm just going to knock them off because we have more to talk about than this. But we were involved in 2007 with a school boundary change. It was a big deal. And there are folks here who were heroes in that process. We are involved with GED. Look at the number on that slide there. Oh, excuse me. School boundary GED. Jake Slow on the changer. 263 graduates. We provide the space. The school district, independent school district, provides the instructors. We have one of the greatest guys you could ever imagine who leads it. And we are second only to Truman High School in graduates, which is a pretty nice thing to say. They have a target of 300 students to go through our doors this year. Not quite there, but they're working on it. We work with Hispanics in this area. And so if you don't know, you do now. Somewhere between 20 and 30% of your neighborhood is Hispanic. And so it makes good sense that we work with Hispanics. A couple of Thursday nights ago, I was here. If you start in the gym, there was a little soccer team playing. The Fairmount Falcons soccer team, future Falcons, were kicking the ball around the gym better than I could ever imagine. Next door to them were a bunch of guys lifting weights. Go up one, you had about 30 people who were learning how to get their GED. Go down the hall a little bit, you had our Hispanic ministry, about 75 people there. Come up to this floor, walk to the end. Probation and parole uses our ability. What in the world are they doing in here? Well, I don't know. But the class that they teach helped people to get a little shorter on their papers. So that's what they're doing. And go above them and you had Narcotics Anonymous. So that's a pretty full crowd. In fact, our parking lot was full on a Thursday night of all things. So those are some fun things, but the best thing is what we see here. And this is a gift from God. Let me give you a verse that I absolutely love. It says, give and it'll be given unto you, equal measure, pressed down, they'll heap it into your laps. You cannot lose in a church if you are giving of the life of God to other people. And so we made a choice to give, and God made a wonderful choice to give to us in return. And so you guys and wonderful lady who were baptized today, you're a sample of that. And we thank God for that. That's a gift. Jake?
Yeah, one other thing that we do here at church that you guys maybe know about is we have small groups too. We do discipleship. So we've currently got 17 groups of adults, men and women, who meet together, holding each other accountable, setting goals, growing in their walk with Jesus, and getting close to each other. So if you're not involved in one of the small groups here, you're really missing out. Talk to some of the folks around you. Talk to Donnie here in the yellow shirt. He'll tell you about how great it is. So come to a small group, check out. So the building gets used for a lot of things. Bob was talking about 15 years ago, Maywood made a big decision to say, we want to do something in our community. Well, if we jump back a shorter amount of time, just about 2 years ago, back to 2014, all these things we're talking about that started to happen in our building were in danger because something I didn't even know could go wrong in buildings. So the tuck pointing was bad at Maywood. If you go back a few years ago, I didn't even know what tuck pointing was. So bricks and mortar don't last forever, contrary to popular belief. So this isn't from our building, but we could have taken a lot of pictures like this a few years ago, maybe even worse, particularly down on the east side of the building. There were these giant cracks coming through the mortar, and it's really expensive, as you might imagine, to go back and repair all of that and do all the tuck pointing. We have 15 heating and air conditioning units in the church, and I think 4 of them had gone out, and we were looking at needing to raise a huge amount of money, and we didn't know how we were going to be able to do it, given our regular budget and things like that. And you maybe have never had to face a tuck pointing crisis in your life, but I bet every single person in this room has had a moment in their life where they think, I have a big need, but I can't fix it. I don't have the strength or the resources to fix this problem. And if you're here in the room today, maybe you were open to the idea of, I'm going to ask God to help. So that's what we were asking here at Maywood, for God to help. We were talking to each other about it. We started this campaign. God is Building Restoration. We raised $231,000, a little more than that, in a couple years. And we did almost 3/4 of the tuck pointing, changed out almost that many windows percentage-wise in the building, fixed those heating and air conditioners. Obviously, we've got a few more that have broken since then.
Yes, we will leave your rooms warm this summer.
Yeah. So I think we still have half a dozen that are 25 years old or more, which is up there for HVAC stuff. So still have more needs, but I wanted to touch on this real quick today, that God brought us through something. You know, literally parts of our building could have fallen off and hurt people. There was a church just here in Independence.
Independence Avenue, downtown.
Independence Avenue, yeah. Part of their building fell off. That could have been Maywood. God saved us from that. And if you've been here for very long, you've probably seen God do some miracles around you or maybe even in your own life. But a lot of times when people are starting out, they come to God with a big need they can't solve. They say, God, save me from my addiction or save me from my crisis. And God does a miracle and he saves them from that problem. But then they're shocked when, like we're having now, now we've got more HVAC problems. Now we've got more building problems. Earl and the other trustees were figuring up all these building needs we currently have, and we're still looking at probably another 200,000, maybe more, in repairs that are needed to this aging building. So sometimes people, they walk through life and they think, Jesus is so great, he set me free, and then they're shocked when there's a second problem or a third problem in their life. They thought, wait, wasn't this Christianity thing supposed to be God solved all my problems and then they were done? Well, if you've been around for a while, there's more problems ahead. And it's not a brand new thing that you're experiencing. It's not brand new that Maywood's experiencing, that God actually is going to let more problems come into our lives. Things that are bigger than we can face on our own. Dee was talking about that in Sunday school, that we've got to lean on God when we face something bigger than we can handle. So we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament, a guy that was alive thousands of years ago who went through this same pattern, though. God did miracles in his life, but he still had more problems even after the miracle. So the guy's name is Elijah. We've got him here in the middle of nowhere drinking from a brook. He's really excited about that brook because in his day and age, there was a famine. There was a drought across the whole land. So no one had enough food. No one had enough water. But Elijah spoke for God. He served God. And so God told him, Elijah, go to this special spot. There's a brook there, and I'll provide food for you. And so Elijah listened to God, and he obeyed God. And so God provided for him. And so God miraculously fed him. Birds brought him food. And then also there was this water. And so day in and day out, he's living off of God's miracle. And we could end the story right there. Most of us want the story to end there. Guy has a problem. God solves it. He lives happily ever after. Well, wouldn't you know that the brook eventually dries up? There's no rain, and it gets dry. And a lot of us, if we were in Elijah's shoes, we'd be like, what? God, you told me you're going to take care of me, and now this brook dried up. I'm going to starve to death. It's over. I'm done. God's failed. That's what a lot of us would think. Well, what did Elijah do? Elijah's a little more mature than I am, probably, or Bob is, I would guess. So Elijah listens to God. God knows Elijah needs water. Elijah listens to God, and God says, you know what? Go to this particular place and ask this particular person for help. They're going to help you out. So he listened, and he obeyed, and then God took care of him. So we're going to look at this pattern. We're going to be reading 1 Kings 17, 10 through 14, these verses. I want you to remember, though, this is what the land was like at that point. No rain for a long time. Everyone's doesn't have enough water. All the crops have failed. So here's verse 10. It says, so Elijah went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. Elijah called to the widow and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. So this brings a really big question for us. I think the biggest question for us today is this one right here. Why ask a widow? God sent Elijah to this town to ask a widow for help. Now, God has all the resources in the whole universe. He could have done whatever he wanted to. There's lots of wealthy people he could have sent Elijah to ask for help. So we're going to find out as we read the story that this widow, she's lost her husband, but she's also a mom, so she's trying to take care of a little boy. And we know just right around here that single moms have it rough just taking care of their kids. It's hard to provide for a family when you're on your own. Well, the ancient world is even that much harder than modern America. For a woman who's on her own in a society that doesn't give women any economic power, doesn't let them own hardly anything. So she is about as low as you can get on the socioeconomic scale. And God sends this powerful man to go ask her for help. Why would God do that? Because see, if Maywood was met this widow woman, and you got a picture of how she would look, we're going to find out in the rest of the story how poor she was. She's probably skin and bones. And her son is probably a lot smaller than he should be because of malnutrition. And he's super bony. We've got this kind of sunken in eyes and the drawn cheeks. And you see this lady trying to take care of her kid. Our first thought is, we need to go build her something. We need to go to the grocery store and help her. We need to give her a ton of stuff. But God's big plan is to send this guy to go ask her for help. When we look around the room today, there's a lot of you in this room today that most people in society would never come and say, let's get help from this person. Let's get help from Chris Weeks, or let's get help from Mike Thompson. You know, there's a lot of folks out there who'd be like, no, they're going to cause problems. We don't want to go ask them for help, you know? But our God that we serve, a lot of times picks the least likely person, the person that everyone else in society says they can't help, they need help. God picks them and wants them to give. So let's see where this story goes. So Elijah asks for help. This is what she says. As surely as the Lord your God lives, so she's respectful, maybe even believes in God. She replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. She's as poor as you can get. She just has a handful of flour, a little oil. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Have you ever met somebody that despairing? Have you ever met somebody that has literally no hope? They've given up. They're saying, I'm going to do this one little last thing, and then I'm just going to die. There's no answers for me. Some of you, I see some head nods. Some of you have met people, or maybe you've been that person of no hope. This is the one that God's big plan rests on. The widow's the one that's got to save the day. She's the heroine of the story today. But she starts the story with no resources and with no hope. So why did God ask her to give? Well, here's how Elijah responds. Elisha says to her, don't be afraid. Today we're talking about becoming givers. The thing that holds a lot of us back from giving is we're afraid. If I give this time to this person, they're going to take advantage of me, or I won't have enough time to take care of myself. Or if I give money to this person I meet, then they're going to hurt me in some way, or I'm not going to have enough for myself. If I open up and give trust to somebody else, then they're going to hurt me. A lot of times, fear keeps us from being the giver that God wants us to be. So Elijah tells her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. Can you imagine being the widow and hearing that? I just explained I have one handful of flour. And I'm supposed to make you a small loaf of bread? I mean, and then use the rest for myself? Here's what Elijah says at the end. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So think about this. Elijah says, here's your options. You're ready to give up and die, or God's promising you salvation. God's promising you what you need to survive. But here's the choice she has to make. Elijah says that, but talk is cheap. We all know. Elijah makes this promise, give me all you have to live on, and then God will miraculously take care of you. I mean, that's a hard sell. So what's the option this widow has? Think about being in her shoes. You've got your kids starving to death. You're starving to death. And this man comes and says, God will take care of everything if you give me the last bit of food that you have to live on. And that's pretty intense. And for her to be able to do it, she'd have to not only not be afraid, she'd have to be brave, but she'd have to put a lot of faith in God. So we don't have time to read the whole story. There's actually a lot of good stuff that happens to this widow if you want to read chapter 17. But I will kind of jump a little bit ahead for us. She does exactly what Elijah says, and God does exactly what he said. So she's obedient, and she gives this last little bit of food to Elijah, and then God miraculously provides for the three of them throughout the whole famine. And so we have her in the top corner here, giving that last bit that she has to live on, and in the bottom corner, this miracle that God does to provide. And most of us, we want to just jump to the miracle in our life. God, set me free of every problem I have. Make me happy and have wonderful relationships. But we want to skip over that top left box there. Give over everything you have to God and trust God with everything you have to live on. And then God does the miracle. A lot of us want to see miracles in our midst, but we don't want to listen and obey because it hurts. It was not easy for that widow to give that last bit of flour to Elijah. She had to bake the bread. She had plenty of time to bail. She had to think about what she was doing and give it to Elijah. Now today we've talked about some building needs at Maywood, but we've already done the offering. Our goal today isn't to get everyone to empty their wallets or something like that. We're not really worried about the building here at Maywood. We know that we're doing ministry God wants us to do. And the pattern we see all through the Bible is when you follow God's ministry, God takes care of you. God provides for his own work. But I don't want you to miss with this widow, what happened with the widow. Because the real miracle in this story isn't that there was enough flour and enough oil to make it through the famine. If you've ever met somebody that had no hope about how to live, they had no hope. They said, I'm going to die. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to die. If you've met somebody like that and they came out of it and became a giver, that's a miracle. You can talk to Dee Osgood about how he felt living under the bridge and how he despaired of living and how God changed him. That's a miracle in our midst. The miracle in this story is the widow, the one that society said, you don't matter. She herself said, I can't do it. I can't do this life. God came into her life and gave her a chance to become courageous, a chance to become a savior for somebody else. A chance to be faithful. God changes her from despairing to being a giver. And for us today in this room, people, whether you've been counted out by society, God can make us into givers. God can make us into the type of people who change Western independence. Bob's always talking to us about how we're the hope of Western independence. It's because God wants to do miracles through you. If we'll listen to God and we'll obey God, then God will start doing miraculous things through us.
Amen. I hope you didn't miss what Jake had to say in there, and I'm not going to rehearse it, but I'd like to rehearse it. Great principles. Would you do something for me this week, maybe today? Go look in the mirror, okay? Just look in the mirror and say, I am the one that God has called to make a difference. You are. You may not believe that. The reason why we call ourselves coaches is very much, and it's becoming more and more real to us. And that is that we really are the supporting cast for the real players on the team. Okay? You all are the superstars. And we talk about we're the hope of Western independence. There are a lot of churches, and they're doing great work. But there is not a church composed of people like the people in this room right now. The worst thing in the world we can do is to sit back and say, well, aren't we really something? Let's have fun and do nothing else. So you need to look in the mirror and say, I am the widow that God has come to use his work in this area. Okay? I don't have to preach on that till one, do I? The second thing I want you to see is as the widow gave, not before she gave, but as she gave, God was able to pour into her exactly what she needed. There are some people who aren't enjoying the Christian life because you have just tried to get from God, but you haven't been willing to be God's channel to somebody else. And so you've dried up and you say, well, if that's all there is, I don't care too much about Christianity. Try giving it away and see that you can't outgive God. And again, Jake, you said, we already took up the offering, so we're not trying to get you money right now. We're talking to you about giving your life away to God, and he will take care of you. Would you think of those things? I mean, this is a, spend some time in 1 Kings 17 and look at that and say, God, what are you saying to me? All right? Enough said. Let's go ahead and stand, please. Worship team's going to come. We're going to pray. There'll be a bunch of folks who would like to pray with you. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for today. Thank you for the baptisms we had today. We rejoice in these men and this wonderful young lady. Thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you are touching our lives and you're making us into the people you want us to be. And Lord, we just want to say to you right now, me on behalf of the people in this room, God, sign us up, put us on your team, empower us, use us, and make us the people you want us to be for your glory. We thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.